Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, December 17th, 2021, Section A. Official: Quakes, a public safety issue. By Stuart Doreen. A Breakwater Energy official stated Thursday that the four earthquakes in less than 24 hours northwest of Midland is a public safety issue, and the latest round of seismic activity completely validates the prudent regulatory action taken by the Texas Railroad Commission against regional saltwater disposal. Disposal water must be recycled or moved away from seismically active areas, stated Jason Gennaro at Breakwater Energy, which tracks seismic activity along the injection well locations and volumes. When three 3.3-plus magnitude quakes hit Midland in 24 hours, it's a public safety issue. Gennaro's email followed four earthquakes that took place around 8.7 miles east-northeast of Gardendale, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The following is more information about the seismic activity, including when they took place, the magnitude of the quake, and the reported depth. 9:30 a.m., Wednesday, 2.9 magnitude, depth 5 miles. 4:21 p.m., Wednesday, 3.6 magnitude, depth 5.6 miles. 10:33 p.m., Wednesday, 3.7 magnitude, depth 6.2 miles. 4:01 a.m., Thursday, 3.3 magnitude, depth 6.2 miles. Gennaro told the Reporter Telegram that the earthquakes were in the recent Railroad Commission Gardendale focus area, which brought seven saltwater disposal wells to zero on top of the previous SRA constraints. TexNet officials have previously told the Reporter Telegram that there have been two main clusters develop in and around Midland. The first is near Gardendale, north-northeast of Odessa. The second and more active cluster recently is around 9 to 10 miles north of Midland in Martin County. EarthquakeTrack.com reported Thursday that there have been 20 earthquakes in and around Midland and Odessa in the last 30 days and 240 tremors in the last year. Where there are earthquakes, there are fault lines. And now there are clearly a lot of activated fault lines surrounding Midland, Odessa. Gennaro stated that the Railroad Commission has been swift in limiting disposal into these seismic clusters, and industry must be quick to respond with increased commercial water recycling activity. TexNet and the Bureau of Economic Geology's Center for Integrated Seismology Research will continue to study these events to determine possible causation. TexNet officials have previously told the Reporter Telegram that it started analysis around Midland in 2017. At that point, a tremor with a magnitude higher than 3.0 was reached. It wasn't until the first quarter of 2020 that seismologists recorded an earthquake around Midland higher than 3.5. On December 31st of last year, a magnitude of 4.2 quake took place near Stanton. TexNet officials have also stated the number of quakes around Midland and Odessa isn't as great as out west. The USGS reported a 4.4 earthquake took place around 6:25 Thursday, 21 miles northwest of Toya, which is 22 miles southwest of Pecos. Helping Hands raises $123,000. The Permian Basin chapter of Oilfield Helping Hands raised more than $123,000 from events, donations, members, and corporate sponsors to assist Permian Basin families in need. In this picture, from left to right, are Tom Mickelbrink, Danny Skiff, Myra Alvarez, OHH Permian Chapter President Katie Grimes, OHH Permian Chapter Secretary Veronica Ochoa and OHH Permian Chapter Vice President Michael Sanchez. Oilfield Helping Hands was established in Houston in 2003 as a nonprofit charitable organization helping oilfield families with financial assistance in times of crisis. OHH is dedicated to raising funds to provide assistance for those in need. Feeling good knowing you have helped someone in need in the oilfield community and having fun doing it. Drivers in Midland and Odessa will head into the holiday week paying highest average gas prices for gasoline in the largest metropolitan areas, while prices stayed the same or dropped week over week in 23 of 27 larger areas, the price in Midland rose 2 cents. That increase allowed Midland to jump El Paso for the top price in the state at $3.08. This price increases in Midland and Odessa went against the grain statewide. AAA Texas reported the statewide average fell 2 cents. AAA Texas also stated the average across the state is the lowest average of any state in the nation. Joint Initiative gives 600 books to kids in need by J.C. Lewis. The West Texas Food Bank partnered with the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin to distribute 600 new books to children in need. Books were distributed Thursday afternoon at the West Texas Food Bank Midland location. There will also be a distribution in Pecos at West Texas Food Bank's partner, Crockett Middle School. We know that the correlation between poverty, food insecurity, and low literacy is closely aligned, and to be able to use the WTFB infrastructure to reach children and address two of those needs is extraordinary, and the generous gift of Diamondback Energy is what made it possible, said the Permian Basin John Trichetti III in a press release. Glassdoor Midland ranks HEB as one of the top 10 best employers in the U.S. HEB is one of the 10 best places to work in the country, according to Glassdoor. The San Antonio-based Texas grocery giant is ranked number 10 in the Job Review Company's annual list of best employers. Bain & Company, a Boston-based management consulting firm, took the lead. HEB is the only Texas company on the list. Glassdoor said the 2021 list is underscored by the coronavirus pandemic, which wreaked havoc on employment and made the ranking of the top 100 places to work the most competitive to date. With more than 1 million company reviews on the site, Glassdoor said making the list is a major achievement. The website explained how the mythology differs from other awards in that the list does not have a nomination process or cost associated. Winners are picked based on feedback provided by the employees. HEB moved up from number 17 spot last year. The store ranks higher than Facebook, Apple, Zoom, and Pfizer. The grocery company has been lauded throughout the pandemic from celebrities like Arnold Schwarzenegger to customers for the response to life-changing event. HEB's plan for employees called Partners was part of the heralded management. Right out of the gate of the pandemic, HEB temporarily upped pay for hourly employees by $2 an hour as the staff kept shelves stocked and communities fed throughout the initial shock. Then HEB gave each employee a $500 bonus in October, plus some snazzy socks. HEB employs more than 135,000 people, according to the website. Forbes also highlighted HEB in 2020 as one of the America's best employers for diversity. Here are some events scheduled for this weekend. Green Acres Mini Golf will have Christmas on the Green from 3 to 9 p.m. Saturday at the golf course on East Highway 80. The event includes Santa, music, face painting, food trucks, ice sculpture demo, bounce houses, and slides. Midland County Sheriff's Office has partnered with local nonprofit organizations to have Christmas at the Horseshoe. The free event is scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. Saturday. A production takes place at 7. It will feature a Santa Claus, live nativity scene, and arts and crafts. Inner Court and JK Dance Studio will perform their live Christmas music production. Cozy Nights Blanket Donation, 10 a.m. to noon, Saturday at the MLK Center parking lot. The Negro Business and Professional Women's Club of Midland and the Salvation Army is giving away over 300 blankets to those in need. It is first come, first serve, with one blanket given to each car. Third Saturdays in the Garden, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday at the West Texas Food Bank in Midland. Adult Hot Chocolate Party and Art Show, 7 to 9:30 p.m. Saturday at the Fawfaw Gallery. Night at the Stables, 3 p.m. Saturday, Connection Christian Church. Midland Festival Ballet presents the Nutcracker, Saturday and Sunday, the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. And Bowie Fine Arts Academy presents Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, 5:30 p.m. Friday and 2 p.m. Saturday at the Bowie Fine Arts Auditorium, 805 Elk Avenue. Edwin Aldo Dominguez of Midland passed away Monday, December 13th. No services will be held. Arrangements were made with the Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Kenneth Davis of Midland passed away on December 7th. Visitation will be Thursday, December 16th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Funeral service will be Friday, December 17th at Northside Church of Christ at 11 a.m. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, December 17th, 2021. Stepfather charged in death of 10-month-old. A probable cause affidavit details that 10-month-old Eileen V. Lira Romero suffered a horrific beating after her stepfather admitted to shoving a bottle into her mouth because she would not stop crying and then hit her with a closed fist on the side of her head. The infant was taken to Medical Center Hospital on December 2nd, but died at a Lubbock hospital on Monday of what a trauma surgeon at the hospital said were injuries indicative of blunt force trauma. The charges against Edward Lira, 28, have increased from injury to a child with intent causing serious bodily injury, a first-degree felony, to capital murder, a capital felony. Lira was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on the capital murder charge on December 15th, jail records show. He has one bond totaling $1 million and was still in custody as of Thursday morning. After the baby was taken to Medical Center Hospital on December 2nd, Lira never arrived at MCH. He was found at his residence and transported to ECSO for an interview. Lira agreed to a formal interview and he was read his Miranda rights, which he waived. During the interview and after Lira's story had changed numerous times, deputies in the probable cause detailed that Lira was the only person in care and custody of the child since November 28th. Lira told deputies he was highly intoxicated, stressed, and angry at everything going on in his life, and to top it off, the child kept crying and wouldn't stop. Lira stated he tried numerous times to give the child a bottle, even forcefully shoved it into her mouth several times, but she wouldn't stop crying, the affidavit stated. Lira reportedly admits to at one point to be standing over the crying child while she laid on the couch, and though he didn't himself admit to the assault, he said he must have punched her on the side of the head with a closed fist, though he doesn't recall how many times he struck the baby. Once Lira realized the child became limp and unresponsive, he called for help, the affidavit stated. Lira was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on the capital murder charge on December 15th, jail records show. ECSO deputies were made aware of the injury to a child at 7:33 a.m. December 2nd when they responded to Medical Center Hospital, an ECSO probable cause affidavit detailed. Deputies made contact with hospital staff who stated a 10-month-old girl arrived at the ER after being transported from her residence by Odessa Fire Rescue. The initial report showed the child had a fractured skull and brain bleeding. OFR was advised by Lira that the child fell off the couch and became unresponsive with all of this taking place at a residence in the 11,000 block of West Kastner Drive, the affidavit stated. A trauma surgeon at the hospital reported the injuries sustained by the child weren't consistent with a fall from a couch and were more indicative of a blunt force trauma to the head. The child was airlifted to Lubbock in critical condition, the affidavit stated. ECSO detailed in a Facebook post on Wednesday afternoon that the 10-month-old girl had died on Monday. Rehab Center holds annual carnival. For years, the Permian Basin Rehab Center has put on an annual Christmas carnival for its patients, and that tradition continued this year. On Thursday, patients from the Permian Basin Rehab Center and their families stopped by the MCM Grande Fun Dome to enjoy food, games, prizes, balloons, face painting, and pictures with Santa Claus. Quote, the Christmas carnival is something that we do every single year, end quote, executive director of the Permian Basin Rehab Center, Kim Ortega, said. Quote, it's just really a Christmas party for our patients. It's not a fundraiser. It just gives our patients and their families a special blessing at Christmas because we care about them. They're important to us. It's a good way to celebrate the holiday season. It's one of the most fun things that we do all year, end quote. Permian Basin Rehab Center staff members took part in the event, with some of them dressing up as various characters, including members of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Quote, the Christmas carnival is an appreciation that we do for our patients, end quote, said Pat Fierro, physical therapist assistant who was dressed as Iron Man at the carnival. Quote, just seeing the look on the kids' faces and bringing them in, and now we can see them have fun and enjoy themselves. We love having them together and having fun and doing pictures with Santa and interacting with other kids, end quote. Kids and their parents enjoyed Thursday's event. Quote, it's just good to bring them out here and have something to do, end quote, said Beatrice Flores, who was with her two kids, Liam, 4 years old, and Aria, 3. Quote, it's good to get them out of the house and they seem to be enjoying it, end quote. Other members were dressed as characters from Beauty and the Beast and Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Crystal Ball Foundation debutantes and escorts were also on hand to help run the games. Quote, for the ball, we're honoring the 2020 Debs and escorts since we didn't get to meet last year, end quote, president of the Crystal Ball Foundation, Sandra Eoff, said. Quote, it's our 60th Crystal Ball, so we're excited for this wonderful event, end quote. This year's Crystal Ball will take place 8 p.m. December 28th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Last year's carnival was done a little bit different due to COVID. Well, last year we set up stations in the parking lot and our patients drove through and we handed them goodie bags, end quote, Ortega said. Quote, we did have an opportunity to have a Christmas photo op separately in the lobby. This year, Santa and Mrs. Claus are here and we can enjoy all the fun things that Christmas is, end quote. Ortega said they were glad to have the carnival back as an in-person event this year. Quote, it's just so important that we have celebrations like this, because the last few years have reminded us how important being with each other is, and what a blessing it is, and how important time with each other is, end quote, Ortega said. Quote, we're just excited to be able to give this gift to our families because they deserve it. They're an important part of us, and we're excited to share Christmas with them, end quote. To donate to the Permian Basin Rehab Center, go to pbrehab.org/therapies. For more information on this year's Crystal Ball, go to odessacrystalball.org. RRC monitoring Permian Basin earthquakes. Texas Railroad Commission's spokesman, Andrew Keese, said Thursday that the RRC is actively monitoring earthquakes that occurred this week in the Midland-Odessa region. Quote, RRC inspectors will inspect operations of disposal wells in the immediate area of the seismic activity, and our staff is also analyzing the seismic data and will decide on what further action needs to be taken, end quote. Keese said via email following several quakes on Wednesday and another Thursday. Quote, this is a continuation of our coordinated response in the Gardendale Seismic Response Area, Midland, Odessa, to ensure that all measures are taken to protect the public and the environment. Actions taken thus far include requiring 7 deep disposal wells in the Gardendale SRA to suspend injection until further notice, end quote. In the last 48 hours, there have been 3 different earthquakes that were felt around Gardendale. A 3.6 magnitude earthquake was reported by the United States Geological Survey Wednesday before a 3.7 magnitude quake was reported. both of which were around Gardendale. A 3.3 magnitude earthquake was reported by the USGS in the early hours of Thursday, around 4:01 a.m. in the same area. Geophysicist Don Blakeman, who works at the National Earthquake Information Center in Golden, Colorado, says that the majority of the earthquakes that have been felt in the Permian Basin are induced quakes. Quote, most of the quakes, and we can't tell just by looking at the waveforms, but most of these quakes that are happening in the Permian Basin area and further west Texas, a lot of those are induced quakes due to the reinjection of fracking fluids, end quote, Blakeman said. Quote, if I look at a specific quake and the waveforms, I can't tell from that information if they're induced earthquakes or not, but we had such a flurry of these often that most of them, if not all of them, are induced, end quote. Prior to the most recent earthquake, six earthquakes of magnitude 3.5 or greater have occurred in an area of the Midland Basin from northeast Ector County to Gardendale Seismic Response Area, SRA, the Texas Railroad Commission website details. These included a 3.7 earthquake in southwestern Martin County, about 8 miles northwest of Midland, on September 7, 2021, and two M3.6 earthquakes northeast of Odessa in February 2020 and May 2021. The Railroad Commission of Texas has authority to regulate saltwater disposal well activity and may exercise that authority to address seismic activity, a September report on the website details. The RRC staff's analysis of available information has determined that SWD injection likely contributes to seismic activity in the Gardendale SRA. Therefore, the RRC has requested that operators in the Gardendale SRA reduce SWD activity as a means of altering conditions likely contributing to seismic activity. The RRC anticipates these procedures to be in place for at least a year from initiation. The RRC has identified 76 permitted SWD wells in the Gardendale SRA, and the operators of those wells were notified. In October, following complaints from a number of Permian Basin residents, Texas Railroad Commissioner Jim Wright said saltwater disposal wells of area companies were the culprits. Quote, it was a few years ago, but then fracking became more prevalent out in the Permian Basin, end quote, Blakeman said. Quote, we've seen these in Kansas, Oklahoma, and a lot of them in Texas and various places around the country. The very first one we saw that was linked to reinjection, I think, was in the Paradox Valley in far western Colorado and eastern Utah. That's what started people studying this. I would have to say, not for certain, but these are probably induced earthquakes, end quote. However, most, if not all, of the quakes felt in the area have been very minor and have not caused significant damage. Blakeman said the chances of a larger earthquake in the Permian Basin are still small. Quote, a little bit of background, we can have swarms of small earthquakes just about anywhere in the United States. North Dakota and Florida are pretty quiet, but we can have swarms of natural quakes almost anywhere, and we've seen these smaller induced quakes for quite some time now. The chances for a large one are small. It's not impossible, but it could happen. It can happen anywhere, actually. But again, the statistics and history show the chances of a large one are low, and people shouldn't be worried, end quote. Quick hits. Junior Leadership Odessa Open Enrollment. Odessa Chamber of Commerce, 700 North Grant Avenue, has opened enrollment for 2022 Junior Leadership Odessa. The 2022 session schedule for junior leadership is listed as follows. January 22, 2022, retreat from 8:25 a.m. to 4 p.m. January 24th, media and education from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. January 31st, law enrollment and government from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. February 7th, medical and social services from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. February 14th, arts and culture from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. February 22nd, graduation from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The junior leadership is free to join. The enrollment deadline for junior leadership is at 5 p.m. today. To enroll today or for more information, contact Lynn Van Amberg at 432-333-7862 or lynnva at odessachamber.com. From staff reports. Three more schools to implement opportunity culture for teachers. Ector County ISD has announced three new schools that will be joining opportunity culture for the 2022-2023 school year. These three schools will collaborate with Public Impact and ECISD Talent Development this spring to undergo the school design process. The 2022-2023 Opportunity Culture Cohort C campuses are Savazos Elementary, San Jacinto Elementary, and Buddy West Elementary. Through the collaboration of ECISD, Public Impact, and the University of Texas Permian Basin, Opportunity Culture campuses restructure to extend the reach of excellent teachers to more students. Through the employment of teacher residents who are UTPB education students, the highly effective teacher, known as the multi-classroom leader, is provided release time to provide on-the-job learning for other team members. In order to be selected into ECISD's Cohort C of Opportunity Culture, campuses had to meet the following criteria. Leader readiness. Principals that lead this work on campus must have the ability to think innovatively about staffing and classroom composition. Opportunity Culture campuses afford schools the chance to reach more students with effective teachers, but oftentimes must strategically schedule classes to accomplish this. School need. Schools that have traditionally struggled with staffing are considered a prime candidate for the innovative staffing models Opportunity Culture employs. Student performance. Areas of the district that would receive the biggest impact by increasing the time students learn from effective teachers are a priority. Opportunity Culture is a self-funded initiative and utilizes innovative staffing models that are budget neutral. Each role within Opportunity Culture undergoes a rigorous selection process in which candidates must apply and provide evidence of effective teaching ability as well as positive historical data. In return, those who are hired to fulfill an Opportunity Culture role receive additional compensation for extra responsibilities and added accountability. Opportunity Culture is an integral part of Ector County ISD's strategic plan. The future is now. By implementing the tenets of Opportunity Culture, ECISD explicitly focuses on recruitment and retention, job-embedded professional learning, pipeline development, and strategic staffing. County, City, Vow, Action on Game Rooms. Commissioners, Mayor, say the problems have become too severe. Vexed beyond endurance by the proliferation of game rooms and the problems that entails, county and city officials are getting together to address the issue. Ector County Commissioners on Thursday heard from Odessa Mayor Javier Jovan, Sheriff Mike Griffiths, and others who said they would meet after the first of the year to coordinate their efforts. With Sheriff's Lieutenant Reno Lewis having reported before the 10 a.m. meeting that there are 65 game rooms in the county outside the city limits, Jovan outlined the options the county has for amending its existing ordinance and said the game rooms have become noticeably more numerous since 2013. Jovan said the Odessa Police Department is spending an inordinate amount of time with game room-related enforcement and that the city and county must work jointly. Griffiths said the bingo nights hosted by the Veterans of Foreign Wars and American Legion, who give 35% of their profits to charities, have been hurt by the game rooms, and that the maximum fine of $1,000 is inadequate. Quote, a $1,000 fine is an hour's business for these people, end quote, he said. Quote, we need to make it hurt, end quote. Referring to State Representative Brooks Landgraf's initiative to increase the penalties in the 2021 state legislative session, the sheriff said, quote, Brooks had some pushback this last time, end quote. Stating her support for a combined effort, County Judge Debbie Hayes said she, quote, was interested to hear Mayor Jovan say the Andrews Highway is turning into the Las Vegas Strip, end quote. Hayes said County Attorney Lee McClendon is working on an amended ordinance. Precinct 1 Commissioner Mike Gardner acknowledged that numerous game rooms are operating in his jurisdiction in West Odessa and said he is eager to address the issue. The Odessa American reported in October that city police had arrested and or issued citations for more than 159 game room owners and customers to that point in the year, while Police Chief Mike Girk said then that most of the arrests had been for processing or distributing narcotics, making illegal cash payments, and operating a gambling business without a license. In other business, the commissioners okayed a resolution for the Republican and Democratic parties to hold joint primary elections on Tuesday, March 1st, and to set the joint runoffs for Tuesday, May 24th. County Elections Administrator Lisa Sertuch won approval of the appointment of early voting clerks and the early voting schedule, a list of co-election judges and election day voting centers for March 1st. Early voting will be held from February 14th through the 25th at the County Administration Building at 1010 East 8th Street, Kellis Turner Community Center, Westlake Ace Hardware, the Globe of the Great Southwest Theater, and Salinas Community Center. The commissioners also heard County Agent Steve Paz introduce Curtis Martin as the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Services new DAR, Disaster Assessment and Recovery Preparedness Agent, with the program having been established after Hurricane Harvey struck the Gulf Coast in 2017. Accepted $1,000 from the Albright & Associates Air and Gas Compressor Sales, Rentals, and Repairs Company for the Sheriff's Office. Approved Precinct 3 Commissioner Don Stringer's proposal to continue leasing Room 109 in the Administration Building for the Financial Fitness Group to advise county employees and the public. Set the starting pay of a water quality specialist in the health department at $15.87 per hour. Okayed Assistant Public Works Director Martin Leyva's request for the creation of a new position, that of Inspector of Construction and Material Quality, with the salary to be paid from proceeds of the rural sales tax. Murray pleased with Opportunity Odessa results. Results of an online survey showing community priorities, an interlocal agreement with the City of Odessa, offering work-based experience and budget priorities, were reviewed by Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray. During his media call Wednesday, he said a survey launched by Opportunity Odessa and funded by Grow Odessa, looking at the future of the city and county, showed the number one investment should be education. Quote, as the superintendent of an educational organization, it makes me feel really good. It shows that our community values education. It shows that our community understands the importance of education and that our community knows that investing in the education of our students will enable our community to grow and flourish into the future, end quote, Murray said. He added that he was pleased with the message sent by the survey, and he thanked the more than 4,100 people who participated. Quote, we're excited that our community is coming together to ensure that quality of education we provide for our students is second to none, end quote, Murray said. The Bond Advisory Committee was due to meet Thursday to determine a recommendation to bring to the ECISD Board of Trustees on a potential bond issue. A separate survey conducted by Bayslice and Associates November 2nd through 14th polled 1,000 Ector County voters about a $500, $600, and $700 million bond. Most voters did not want additional school taxes. Murray also spoke about an interlocal agreement with the City of Odessa to provide some work-based learning opportunities for students. The opportunities are for students in the Vet Tech program. Quote, we have a group of students that are involved in our career and technical education programming that are interested in becoming veterinarians, veterinary technicians, etc. This opportunity and the relationship between the City of Odessa and the school system will provide opportunities for these students to actually work at the Odessa Animal Shelter, supporting the veterinarians and clinicians there as they care for animals and treat their various issues. We're excited about this hands-on opportunity for our students as a part of this interlocal agreement, end quote, Murray said. Quote, we will continue to work with the city to explore other ways that our students can get work-based learning opportunities, end quote. Students will not be paid, but they will receive credit for their high school courses as part of the workplace experience, he added. On budget priorities, Murray said he had a chance to discuss those with board members at their December 14th meeting. Quote, believe it or not, in the month of December, we begin to put together the budget for the next school year, and we always begin that process by listening to our trustees, understanding what their priorities are, and we use their priorities to help us shape a budget that will not only address the specific priorities of our trustees, but also the needs of our students and staff members and our community in Ector County, end quote, Murray said. One of the items discussed was compensation. Quote, our Board of Trustees wants to ensure that all our employees, no matter what their position is, are well compensated, and they encouraged us this year to be more strategic in our compensation, identifying very specific individuals or roles within ECISD, that we may be having a difficult time attracting individuals to those roles, and can we more effectively leverage, through compensation, opportunities to bring talented individuals to join our team. We'll certainly be paying a lot of attention to compensation as we develop the budget, end quote, he added. Investments in advanced placement and the International Baccalaureate Program were other board priorities. Quote, we'll be assessing the way that we support kids in those particular areas and explore ways that we can enhance opportunities to make sure that every student that wants to be part of that type of programming has those opportunities within ECISD, end quote, Murray said. Quote, in addition to that, the board encouraged us to explore additional investment opportunities in special education, wanting to make sure that the needs of the 10% of our students, which are currently identified as special ed, end quote, have their needs met, he added. Quote, we'll be exploring some ways through our budgeting process to ensure our students that receive special ed services receive services of the highest quality and caliber as we explore that, end quote, Murray said. Trustees also want to see investment in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM, and STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Murray said the board also wanted to see upkeep of buildings and facilities through the general fund while recognizing that the district is involved in a bond process. On the wrap-up of an investigation into a large fight at the Burger King at 1920 East 42nd Street, Murray said there was an investigation by Permian High School and one by the Odessa Police Department. The incident, which resulted in the arrest of two juveniles, occurred at 8:55 a.m. November 19th. Ector County ISD Director of Communications Mike Adkins said December 14th, PHS spent the better part of two weeks trying to go through different videos and get a real understanding of what happened and who was involved. At the end of it, Adkins said 12 students were disciplined for their involvement in it and provided consequences to the students that were involved, and then there was also a criminal investigation. In an email December 15th, Adkins said there were an estimated 50 or more students ranging in age from 14 to 17 involved. Many of the students moved back and forth from the parking lot to inside the store, so it was difficult to put a firm number on it. Asked what the range of punishment was for the 12 involved, Adkins said in the email that students received the same disciplinary consequences using the guidelines in the Student Code of Conduct. As to what started it, Adkins wrote that a disagreement from the previous day in the Burger King parking lot continued and escalated the following day. Murray said December 15th that he was satisfied with what the high school found out and the consequences and disciplinary action, quote, provided to students, end quote. Obituaries. Alton Jarvis Montgomery. Odessa. Alton Jarvis Montgomery, a longtime resident of Odessa, Texas, passed to his heavenly home December 9th, 2021. Visitation will be held at McNett Funeral Home in Andrews, Texas, on Saturday, December 18th, 2021, from 12 p.m. to 1:30 p.m., followed by a graveside service at Andrews Old Cemetery at 2 o'clock p.m. Alton was born the second of three sons on the 1st of July, 1932, to Ozella Brown Montgomery and Lon Willis Montgomery in Ackerley, Texas. Alton was preceded in death by his wife, Laquita, his parents, and both brothers, Lonnie and Jerry Montgomery. Alton is survived by his son, Terry, and wife, Jessie of Odessa, daughter, Linda Montgomery of Pflugerville, Texas, and daughter, Lori Tonkin, and husband, Bob, of Odessa. He is also survived by his grandchildren, Robert Browning, Brian Browning, and wife, Tracy, Lindsay Saldana, and husband, Jesse, Leroy Rodriguez, and wife, Veronica, Matthew Rodriguez, in addition to 13 great-grandchildren. Margarito Rivas Acosta, Jr., Odessa. Margarito Rivas Acosta passed away on Wednesday, December 8, 2021, in Odessa. He was born on October 8, 1964, to Margarito Cabezuela Acosta and Guadalupe Rivas Gutierrez in Presidio, Texas. He is preceded in death by his parents, Margarito and Lupe, and siblings, Alberto, Beto, Lupe, Reverend Jose Luis, and Manuela. Those left to cherish his memories are his children, Carlos and Rosa, his siblings, Jesus, Quiri, Lundencio, Rogelio, Rosa, Gloria, Pilar, and Martina, and cousins, Jesus Acosta, Francisca Sanchez, nephew Abasai Acosta, along with grandchildren, cousins, nieces and nephews, and great nieces and nephews. An affectionate extension of gratitude to Javier Estrella for his humble gesture. Services are entrusted to Acres West on Friday, December 17, 2021, from 4 to 9 p.m. Interment of ashes will be set to rest alongside his parents at the cemetery of El Pilon in La Oficina de Acosta, Mexico. Quote, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest," end quote. Matthew 11:28. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel. Condolences to the family may be made at acreswestfuneral.com. Glenda Yancy Tomez, Owensboro. Glenda Yancy Tomez, 78, went to her heavenly home on Sunday, November 30th, 2021. She was preceded in death by her husband, Gerald Tomez, and daughters Gina Denham and Beth Martell. She is survived by her sisters, Gwen Hall and Janice Wilson, her brother and sister-in-law, Comer and Cookie Hudgens, her son and daughter-in-law, Kevin Yancey and Lena Mendenhall, daughter Elizabeth Wagoner, and daughter and son-in-law, Katrina and Scott Peterson. Her love and legacy will live on in her family, including her 26 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. She will also be missed by numerous other individuals she gathered to herself and loved through the years. The memorial service will be Saturday, December 18, 2021 at Kingdom Church, 3002 East University, Odessa, Texas, at 11 o'clock a.m. The church is located at Crescent Park Baptist Church, and the entrance is on the Jim Parker Park side of the church. Death Notices. Henry Barrientos, Odessa. Henry Barrientos, 90, of Odessa, died Tuesday, December 14, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. December 18, 2021, at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Eile V. Lyra Romero, Odessa. Eile V. Lyra Romero, 11 months, of Odessa, died Monday, December 13, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m., December 17, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Father Mark Woodruff is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Marshall Boyd Thames II, Odessa. Marshall Boyd Thames II, 48, of Odessa, died Monday, December 13, 2021, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Jane Hellinghausen. Studies show spike in young adults' weight. This article is written by Linda Searing from the Washington Post. More than half of America's youngest adults, 56% of those ages 18 to 25, are considered overweight or obese, according to Johns Hopkins research published in the Journal of American Medical Association. Using data from a nationally representative sample of 8,015 people in that age bracket, the researchers compared average weights over the past four decades. In that time, the population's average body mass index, or BMI, a measure of body fat based on a person's height and weight, had increased by 4.6 points, from 23.1, considered normal weight, to 27.7, that's considered overweight. That shifted the number of overweight young adults from about 18% in the late 1970s to nearly 24% by 2018. The biggest spike in weight measurements, however, was the prevalence of obesity, which increased from about 6% to nearly 33%. The percentage of those with a body mass index indicating a normal weight, 18.5 to 24.9, dropped from about 69% to 38%. BMI matters because being overweight or obese puts you at risk for a range of health problems, including high blood pressure, heart disease, osteoarthritis, type 2 diabetes, sleep apnea, and some cancers.
How to Handle Holiday Snacking by Taylor Sutton, MSRD, United Supermarkets Lifestyle Desk. The end of the year is here, and our schedules are busier than ever. One thing the holiday may bring upon you is the feeling of our nourishment, and maybe sometimes lack thereof. So, in order to be present, fill our cup, in order to fill others, and feel good without feeling sluggish, let's nourish our bodies with proper fuel. Let's get this out of the way real fast. Treats are fuel too. I'm looking at you, chocolate-dipped potato chips. Knowing when the craving is satisfied is key. Put simply, food elicits responses within the body. The goal here in the holidays is to have deep understanding and compassion for yourself that no matter how you eat on any given day, it doesn't get in the way of you living your best life. Choose foods that help you get the job done, be it a SNEAL, aka snack and meal combined, because you know your day's plan. A light snack between work, meetings, or maybe a carb-rich option before getting in an afternoon weightlifting session. So let's go a little bit further. With the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, you might find yourself a little less prepared on the snack end. This is the perfect time to look at if you're truly hungry or what other input signals your body is receiving, like stress, boredom, etc. If you're finding that you are doing the latter half of the last statement, this is the perfect time to reflect and ask yourself, what is the deeper meaning and how to take steps in resolving that? If you are truly hungry, let's make the most out of that snack time with a few examples. If you know you're coming up on eating in about an hour, try these 100-calorie snacks to help you get through. Half cup cottage cheese plus a fourth cup fruit. 14 almonds. 3/4 cup frozen mango. 10 baby carrots and 2 tablespoons of hummus. If you're about 2 hours out until your next meal, try these 200-calorie snacks. 28 almonds. 2 tablespoons peanut butter. 1 small apple plus 1 tablespoon peanut butter. 1 small pear plus string cheese. Quest apple pie protein bar. If you're on the go and 3 hours out from your next meal, try these 300-calorie snacks. 1 medium apple plus 1 tablespoon nut butter. 1 Greek yogurt plus 1 tablespoon nut butter plus a half a cup of fruit. 3 hard-boiled eggs plus 1 slice whole wheat bread. Another good point to be made here as well would be that your last meal might not be enough food to keep you satisfied until your next meal. So try upping the calories here unless you like planning for snacks. Recipe for easy granola mix. What you need: 12-ounce Open Nature strawberry granola, 1 cup unsweetened coconut flakes, 3/4 cup sunflower seeds, 3/4 cup pumpkin seeds, 3/4 cup plain Cheerios. How it's made: 1. Pour all ingredients into a large bowl and mix well. 3. Store in an airtight container and scoop into plastic baggies when ready to serve.
Patients say concerns over telehealth persist. Associated Press, Washington. Most older Americans have had to use telehealth during the COVID-19 pandemic, and many were comfortable with it. But a new poll finds persistent concerns about issues like technology, the quality of care, and patient privacy. Comfort levels with remote care can vary depending on factors like age, income level, or race. According to the survey from the Associated Press, NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research. Doctors, hospitals, and other care providers had to cancel visits and surgeries and abruptly switch to remote care as the pandemic unfolded in early 2020. Many patients followed their doctors online and have continued to get care that way as coronavirus cases ebbed and flowed in subsequent waves. Telehealth involves patients and care providers connecting remotely through computers, tablets, or phones. They often use video calls but also can trade emails or secure text messages. Sometimes both parties just talk on the phone without video. Since the pandemic started, 62% of adults age 50 and older have used some form of telehealth. Patients most frequently used telehealth for consultations on medications, non-urgent health concerns, wellness checks, or to continue with ongoing care to manage a chronic condition like diabetes. The ease of finding an appointment or meeting a specific provider and the chance to get an immediate response were the most common reasons respondents opted for telehealth. Roughly a third said each was a major factor, and another third called them minor factors. A majority also cited avoiding COVID-19 exposure as a major or minor reason for seeking care through telehealth, with about a quarter calling it a major reason. The poll found that those who received care through telehealth were generally comfortable with it. Roughly 6 in 10 said they were at least somewhat likely to seek such remote care after the pandemic ends. But many concerns remain. Chief among them is worry about receiving care that is not as effective as an in-person visit. Roughly 2/3 of older adults said they were at least somewhat concerned with that. Many also have some worry about not having a personal relationship with a doctor, running into information security or technical problems, and a lack of privacy. Judy Ostrom, for instance, didn't use remote care during the pandemic and has no plans to start. You don't know who's walking in and out of the room where the doctor is, the 60-year-old resident of Lapine, Oregon, said. I love my family, but sometimes you want your conversation with your doctor to be confidential. Some concerns were more concentrated among adults age 65 and older. For example, those patients were more worried about not having a personal relationship with their doctor and not having the appropriate devices compared to people ages 50 to 64. People making less than $50,000 are roughly 3 times as likely as those with higher incomes to feel that having a doctor provide the necessary devices for a telehealth visit would be very or extremely helpful. The poll also found that people with lower incomes are more likely to say it would be helpful if the doctor provided assistance in using the technology.
Swollen legs, Tara Zosin. Dear Dr. Roach, I had a problem with swollen legs. As a last resort, my cardiologist stopped my Tara Zosin. I didn't take it one night. Guess what? The next morning, like a miracle, my legs were back to normal. I am 92 years old and everything is functioning just fine. MW. Answer. Tarazosin, Hytrin, is in a class of medicines called alpha blockers. They are most used in men with symptoms from a large prostate, but also can be used for high blood pressure. Although the newest alpha blockers have less blood pressure effect. Dizziness on standing and swollen legs are among their most common side effects. All medicines can cause side effects, but you should never stop a medicine without physician advice. There are other choices for both blood pressure and prostate symptoms. Dr. Roach regrets that he is unable to answer individual letters, but will incorporate them in the column whenever possible. Readers may email questions to yourgoodhealth@med.cornell.edu. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Discovery of neighbor's past shocks new friend. Dear Abby, I recently learned my neighbor shot and killed her two young kids, 14 and 2, more than 20 years ago, and served only half of her prison sentence, 6 years. The newspaper said she called the police herself, confessed, and was arrested and incarcerated. I've only known her for 2 years. She's very reserved and keeps to herself. She seems paranoid, but she has warmed up to me because we both dabble in art. Since I learned this information from the internet, I don't know how to feel about her. This was a horrendous act, and I'm having a hard time processing. What are your thoughts? Signed, Perplexed in the South. Dear Perplexed, why did you find it necessary to research your neighbor? Did someone suggest it, or do you do that with all your neighbors? If what you discovered is indeed true, there must be a good reason why she was freed after serving only half her sentence. I think, because you have questions, the person you should ask is her. Dear Abby, I've known my ex's friend for more than 12 years. Long story short, we are now friends with benefits. When I stay over, he almost always portrays himself as a good catch, but when it's time to act like one outside his home, he doesn't. He says, dating is too hard, and we should take it one day at a time. He constantly tells me I will make someone a good wife, and that I should have no problem finding someone. Must I just enjoy the best benefits I've ever had, or should I move on? Signed, Conflicted in Massachusetts. Dear Conflicted, much depends upon what you really want. If what you want is a husband, children, and a future, you should take this man's advice and find someone other than him. If it's great sex and nothing more, you must decide whether you want to stick around for the wild ride. No one can decide that for you. Dear Abby, I have a dear friend of many years who makes a habit around her birthday of getting as much free food as she can from restaurants and stores. She collects coupons for birthday freebies and makes sure to cash them in, whether to free soft drink or dessert or lunch. She brags to me about how much stuff she got free and put in the freezer for later. Her husband does the same thing around his birthday. Neither one works, and both of them live on Social Security. They are not poor. They travel often. Is this extreme resourcefulness, or is it more like greed and gluttony? I'm leaning toward the latter. Signed, Biting My Tongue in Texas. Dear Biting, I'm leaning toward the former. This couple is taking advantage of what is offered. They're not harming anyone. Many people do it. It's a common practice, and there's nothing wrong with it. Stores and restaurants make these offers available for promotional purposes. Your relationship with these dear friends will last a lot longer if you judge them less.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.